We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Renee Kielhofer. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Great. It's good to have you.
Excited to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor this morning is Gateway Church with Pastor Chasten Music. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of July, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done.
That's a
on
mouthful.
The Facebook post. Our book was donated by Pastor Tim Patterson from the Pentecostal Holiness in Cheyenne, and it's called Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes, ma'am. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. And Father, I thank you for my sisters and the listeners who will tune in. I just give this time to you, and I pray that you would anoint our hearts to receive your word and do what you want to do in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, Back to Basics.
Back to basics. I feel like God's kind of been dealing with me about that over the last few weeks. You know, we talk about how much the world has changed and all the turmoil and what's going on and blah, 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 blah. But we need to just get back to the basics and just live in those basic foundational principles that the Word of God has taught us. And that's where we're going to find victory. That's where we're going to find power. That's where we're going to find peace. But the problem is we live in this society that demands instant gratification on everything. So we want everything now. We're usually willing to do whatever it takes in order to get it now with no thoughts about tomorrow. And wisdom really tells us to do today what we're going to be happy with tomorrow. But so many times we just live today and we don't even think about tomorrow or what our choices today might do to our tomorrows. Mm. We've grown accustomed to the convenience of instant. I mean, it's been coming our way for decades. In some ways, instant's been very helpful to us in this fast-paced world that we live in. You know, frozen can or instant works for dinner at my house most of the time, you know. But too many times we don't consider the cost of instant. For example, back to instant foods, fast foods. They're convenient and they're satisfying in the moment. But over the long haul, they offer very little benefit to our bodies. In fact, they can actually do more harm than good. Mm-hmm. And over the course of our lifetime, we will reap the consequences of those choices of a steady diet of fast and instant. And it's the same thing in our spiritual lives, because we will reap the consequences of that instant gratification. And the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. So if we want to enter into that pleasurable season, we better be willing to face the consequences down the road, because it is a season. It will pass. The consequences will catch up with you. The choices that you're making now will dictate your future. And so a lot of times, you know, in that moment, we're tired, we're pushed to the edge, and we're in a time crunch, so we don't think about the consequences. Or we're just tired, and we just want something for us in that moment. So if we're talking about food, we'll pull up to the drive-thru, grab the food, and just continue on. And you might do it once and not really notice anything, but you do it twice, you might start noticing some little blah or indigestion or whatever. But the thing is we just always have to be aware tomorrow is coming. Tomorrow is coming. And I know we say we're not promised tomorrow, but we live today as if we're going to live tomorrow, because we are also not promised that we're going home before tomorrow. Right. It's like we don't know. Those times are in God's hands. And so I know I talk about this a lot, but just slow down. Slow down. Take a breath. You know, crock pot meals are generally more nutritious than the microwave. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a fact. But we will stand by impatiently waiting in front of the microwave, wanting it to hurry up. You know, who knew that 2 minutes was so long before the microwave?
You know? I want my hot pocket and I want it now.
Yes, yes. I mean, we do that. I have been guilty of that myself, like pulling something out of the freezer to throw in the microwave and going, oh, this takes 5 minutes. Is there anything that takes less, you know, and find the thing that takes a minute and a half. And then you're even still standing there just going, oh, hurry up, hurry up. 30 more seconds, you know, because we're so accustomed to just hurrying and getting that instant gratification. And for most of us, our diets and our health would be so much better if we just went back to our grandma's old recipes, the way she did things, and we just started using those again. I know that takes up some time. You have to do some planning, but you do that for 2 or 3 months, and you'll feel like a different person. The health benefits are there. I mean, there have been different times in my life when I have committed to eating more healthy. And when I say more healthy, I'm not saying the extreme where everything has to be organic. I grew it myself, whatever, which that's great if that's your thing. But I don't have a green thumb and I don't have an unlimited supply of money, and that stuff is always more expensive. Yes, you know, so, but I'm just saying I saw such a difference just going back to buying the fresh produce and cooking it myself, or, doing the long rice instead of the instant rice, and just trying to, my mom used to always tell me, when you get your plate fixed, it should be colorful. And if it's colorful, you've probably got something from every food group. And so I just doing that colorful plate made me feel better over the long haul. I had more energy. I was in a better mood. I slept better, all because I ate better. And our spiritual lives mirror our physical lives. You know, the word says, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so when your soul is starving, you're more likely to make those compromises, if that makes sense. And those compromises are what are going to make you sick, spiritually, physically, all the way around. You know, if we take the time to listen to God, we will hear from God. He's always got something to say. And many of us could take a cue from our parents or grandparents on our spiritual health as well. You know, my grandparents, I always say that I feel like I grew up spiritually privileged. And I know a lot of people have the same story. But as far back as I know on my mother's side, these were committed, active Christians. On my dad's side as well, I know about three generations, and these were all godly people. And I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents always lived hours away because my dad was military, so we always had to travel. After we moved to Oklahoma, it was a 12-hour drive to Mississippi to see my grandparents. So when we went, my point is when we went, we stayed for days at a time. Mm-hmm. So I got to see their lifestyle, the real deal. It wasn't just vacation grandma and grandpa. It's how we go to work, how we come home, how we cook, how we conduct ourselves, how we talk to each other. You know, I saw that for real. And we usually stayed at my mom's parents' house. And my grandma and grandpa, every night, about 9:30, they turned off the television. They turned off the big light. One would get on one side of the living room. One would get on the other side of the living room. And they would kneel at the couch in the chair with their Bible. And they would pray. They would pray out loud, not yelling, but just in a normal conversation voice. And when they would pause, you'd look over there and you'd see their eyes were fixed on the Word. And they did that every single night. There was never a time in my life that I spent the night with them that they did not do that. And as a child, I'm sitting over there like, will you please hurry up? Please hurry up. You know, I don't want to watch you pray and read the Bible. Hey, hello, baby granddaughter's here. You know, that was kind of my thoughts. But as I matured, I realized that they were able to be the people that they were because of that commitment. It's not the one grand thing that you do for the Lord. It's what you do over and over and over again that creates a lifestyle of worship and a lifestyle of living for the Lord. And even as I grew up, my parents didn't do it in the living room, but I can remember after we went to bed, like going in there to ask them something, and my parents would be sitting up in the bed with their Bibles open, each reading their Bibles. And I would think, you know, this is like Nanny and Papaw, but this is Mom and Dad, so I'm interrupting. And I'd be like, hey, whatever I needed, you know. But again, that consistency, there's no shortcut from staying on your knees and staying in the Word. And both my grandparents and my parents always made church a priority. So when I talk about back to the basics, this is what I mean. We have to prioritize prayer and reading God's Word. Mm-hmm. We need to constantly be pouring the Word into our lives so that we're filled with the Word, so that the first thing that crosses our mind in any given situation is a scripture or a promise from God that will help us stand firm. Mm-hmm. If we put it in there, the Holy Spirit will draw on it for sure. But too many of us are what I call crisis Christians. Mm-hmm. We just go from storm to storm, you know, wondering why we never have any peace. And we blame it on Satan. He's always attacking me. Every time I turn around, Satan is attacking me. But the truth is, for many of us, we stay in this perpetual cycle of crisis because that's the only time we're serious about serving God. So do you think God's going to take that out of your life if that's the only time he's got your attention? If that's the only opportunity he has to pour something real into your life? No, we do it to ourselves. And, you know, and I'm not picking on any one church overall, and I hesitate to say this because I don't want to be that negative Nancy that's always down on everything, because I know there are a lot of churches out there that are still preaching the truth and still preaching the word and still preaching salvation. But we've kind of fallen into this trap to where when people come to church, we just tell them what God can do for them in this situation. You know, you're hurting, you're going through a trial. Well, let me tell you, God can get you through that. God can save you. But they walk away thinking, save me from what? You know, we inadvertently put this idea in their head that God is going to save me from my financial distress. God is going to save me from the brokenness of my failed marriage, or God is going to save me from the stress of my addicted child, instead of God is going to save me from the consequences of sin. We don't talk about sin anymore. And we have to learn that serving God is a lifestyle. It's not a quick fix. It's a crock pot recipe for whatever ails you at the moment. It is a lifestyle that you choose. And the benefit of that lifestyle is more God in your life. More God in your life brings more peace, more strength, more ability to face the storm. It's like we just want to use him at the storm. We don't want to use him for the foundation. And that lifestyle change is what creates the foundation. What's the strongest part of any building? The foundation. If the foundation is weak, the building will crumble. And it will constantly need to be propped up before it finally collapses. But if that foundation is strong, a tornado can come through and it's not going anywhere. It's the foundation that matters. And that lifestyle, choosing that lifestyle of serving God every day, that's what builds the foundation. And serving God, again, the byproduct of that in this life is peace, provision, wisdom, consistency, stability, all of those things that we need and desire most. That's the byproduct. It's not the prize. It's the icing on the cake. That's what's really cool. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, I set before you life and death. Choose life. If somebody said you can live or die today, what do you want to do? What do you think you're going to say? I mean, you'd be an idiot to say, I'll just die. You know, I mean, seriously, it's not a difficult question. It's not a difficult choice. Choose life. It's really that simple. Choose life. You can take any situation almost and do a quick review of your options, and you will know which option leads to life and which option leads to death. Choose life. Choose life. And so how do we do that? We have to get back to the basics to do that. So I'm going to stop right here and let's do our prayer requests before I get into this next half, because I don't want to interrupt the next part.
Okay, we have a couple of prayer requests this morning. The first one is pray for the three young ladies who fled from a mental health facility in Oklahoma City Friday. And then Miss Mandy asked us to pray for her and Rosa. And then I would like to ask everyone to continue to pray for my little sister, Renee. She is still in OU hospital. The swelling in her, they did lance it. They did do the lance on it. And the swelling has went down quite a bit. She said, I spoke to her this morning before I came in the building, and she seems to be doing better.
She's still in the hospital.
Yes.
Okay, so just these three this morning. All right. Precious Heavenly Father, we just bring these needs before you today. And first of all, we just thank you that we can have confidence coming before the throne with our needs, knowing that you love us and that the needs have already been met and paid for. And so, Father, we want to lift up Renee, who's still in the hospital. We thank you that she is progressing and doing better. And, Father, we ask for complete recovery. And we ask for it in a way that she knows and everyone around her knows that it was only God and that you get the glory for it in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray for Mandy and Rosa. Father, you know what they need. You know the situation. You know the details. You know what needs to be done on their behalf and for them. And I just pray for peace and wisdom and that every need be met according to your will and according to your plan in Jesus' name. And Father, I lift up these three young ladies who fled from a mental health facility on Friday. Father, I just lift them up to you wherever they're at. Father, I pray a hedge of protection around them, and I pray deliverance from the demonic emotions that are plaguing them and causing these problems in the first place. I pray for deliverance and freedom in their lives in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would protect them, that you would guide them, that you would keep them safe, that you would meet their needs, that you would send people into your lives, into their lives that would speak truth into their lives, that they would find that peace of mind in Christ, that they would get the help that they need and that they would know that their help comes from the Lord and that you have done it. That when it's said and done, that they would know that God showed up in their lives and took care of this situation. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that you would meet all of these young ladies at their point of need and do what you know needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
That would be keep that in my mind.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Renee Kilhofer, and her title is Back to Basics.
Before the break, we were talking about Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, where it says, I set before you life and death, choose life. And it really is that simple. So choose life. What does that look like? So I think I want to go back to the beginning. I want to start on that Romans road to salvation. And we need to be reminded of our salvation. And if, let me just preface this, that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life as your Savior, then I encourage you to listen to this next session and see what the Word of God has to say about that. You know, a lot of things are changing in the world, but the Word of God never changes. God never changes. That's what's cool, and that's what's steady, and that's what stays, and that's what lasts. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and I'm doing this out of the New Living Translation. I know that's a big surprise because I always do the message, but this morning I found myself in the New Living Translation. Romans 3:10 says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. So that's our condition. No one. We're on the same playing field here. No one is righteous. Doesn't matter how many good deeds you've done, you're not righteous. Romans 3:23 goes on to say, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. So there's no exception to that. From the time you enter this world as an infant, you're a sinner. You are a sinner because you are born a sinner with a sinful nature. Think about it. We teach our children how to tell the truth, how to have good manners, how to have a work ethic. We don't have to teach them to lie and be rude or be lazy. That's what we have to come against, mm-hmm. because we are born with that sinful nature that leads to destruction. So that's our condition. We are born sinners. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So while we were still sinners, while we were still at that place where we are not even acknowledging God as our Savior, some of us are spitting in his face with our lifestyle and our behavior, he is loving us so much that he's sending his Son to pay the price for our sins, and that price was death. And not an easy death, a torture and death. He took all of that on us so that we could have salvation. And he's the only one that's ever been perfect. And I love to dwell on that for a minute. Jesus was perfect. But the Bible says that he stepped down from heaven and became human for us to bear our sins and to pay the price. So what that means is, yes, he was fully God and he was fully man, but he chose not to tap in to the fully God part. Mm-hmm. He chose to walk that walk as a human like we have to, so that he could become the perfect sacrifice. Because if he had used God's power to do that, then in a way that we don't have access to, then it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have been for us. But everything that Jesus did, we now have access to, mm-hmm. because of the way He walked the walk when he was on this earth and then sacrificed himself for our sins, died on the cross, and rose again on the third day, declaring victory over death, hell, and the grave. He did that for us while we weren't loving him. Mm-hmm. Think of somebody that you really can't stand. I mean, we all have had those people in our lives. Somebody that really drives us nuts, that if they showed up at your house, you would want to hide and not open the door because you don't want to deal with their stuff. Okay, we were worse than that mm-hmm. when Jesus died for us. Would you die for that person? You know, the Bible says that it's really something for a man to lay down his life for a brother. Mm-hmm. But for a man to lay down his life for someone he doesn't even know, you know, that's the ultimate. And Jesus did that for us because he knew us before we were born. Mm-hmm. And he did it even in our sinful state. I love that. In Romans 6:23 goes on to say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So we've acknowledged that we're sinners, we're in a sinful state, and we need a Savior, because without a Savior, we are headed for certain death and destruction for all eternity. That's not just in this physical life. That's a spiritual death as well, and the spiritual death will go on for eternity. That's a long time, mm-hmm. a long time. But the free gift of God is life. So how do you choose life? Choose God. Choose the free gift of God. Choose life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." That's where the sinner's prayer comes in. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledging you're a sinner, that you need Christ, that Christ paid the price for you, and confessing him as Lord and Savior of your life. Declaring, the word says, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believing that he paid the price for your sins. That's what makes you saved. It's faith that makes you saved. And so it's so easy. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. I love this Romans road to salvation, because we were all in such a lost state, but there's hope. There's hope through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Revelation, it goes on to say that we overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we are saved. How? By openly declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. And we are saved. That's how we overcome. It is through faith. And Romans 10:13 tells us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, whether you're rich, poor, whatever sin you've committed, whatever you feel guilty about, whatever burden you're carrying, doesn't matter. Call on the name of the Lord. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that God did what he said he did when he raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. And I can tell you, there's testimony after testimony after testimony of that load lifting, there's something different. Your step mm-hmm. is lighter. There is a confidence that comes from putting your faith and trust in the Lord. And when we start getting back to the basics, remembering and cherishing these scriptures right here, because they outline our salvation, what God's already done in our lives, and if we have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then we choose life. Mm-hmm. We choose life. And then it goes on to tell us what that looks like when we choose life. You know, we've walked through the salvation process that's so simple that a lot of people refer to it as the ABCs of faith. You know, mm-hmm. admit that you need a Savior, believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and confess your sins and confess that He is Lord, and you are saved. The ABCs of faith. It's so simple. But when we go on to Romans chapter 13 in verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know.